open to some sort of discussion on compensation. Mm-hmm.
Well, what shall be my compensation, sir, for being held down, sodomized by four white guys? Oh, four black guys? Shall my compensation be the same? What is the formula for compensation, sir?
Well, how about $10,000 in cash?
Well, let's just break that down.
Wait a minute. Did you see that figure just came to the top
of the head. Let's just say, for argument's sake, let's say $20,000, let's say $30,000. I tell you what, let's say $50,000. $50,000 to 14 years. 14 years times 365 days is about, I'd say about 5,000 days. Now, you divide that by $50,000, and that's like $10 a day. That's not even minimum wage. This ain't nothing about the family that I lost, the respect that I lost. I don't think you really, really understand what we're talking about here. 14 years. Whoops. Uh-oh. Gotta get. I'm late for another appointment.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Run It Back. I'm your host. I'm Blair Bomber. I'm back. I've been gone a little while. I know I kind of suck. Okay, here's what happened. I'm just going to get into why I've been kind of gone for a second, and then you're going to be like, oh, man, Blair, I totally get that. I'm not in any way mad that you didn't put the podcast out last week. We still love and support you in everything that you would ever try to do, including all of your endeavors that sometimes don't always work out as good as you might want, but we will still always support. That's the kind of support that I need in my life. Look, here's what happened, dude. There was a polar vortex in Chicago. Do you know what that means? Does anybody know what that means? No, you don't, because you don't fucking live in Chicago, dude. You don't fucking live here, and you just don't get it, and that's okay, because this is what happens. The vortex from polar bears fuck super hard, right? And then what they do is when they come, then they it gets in the atmosphere, and it's kind of like global warming, because what happened was global warming will you know how stuff gets in the air and then it's terrible and then it's great and then it's all, but yeah, you guys get that, right? Does that make a lot of sense? Where did I lose you? It's probably because I didn't finish it. Here's something. I got a text, and it may or may not have been about something dirty, and it kind of threw me off. Whatever, though. Seriously, polar vortex is when it gets really cold in Chicago. Like, crazy cold. Like, negative 30 cold. Like, if you go outside, you'll die cold. So, we didn't have heat in my apartment. Like, no heat. I mean, we had heat, but it was so low and pathetic. It was a good 50 degrees. And I don't know, 50 degrees to most people, that's hoodie and jacket weather. So, try sleeping in that. I couldn't even sleep in my room because I have a big window in my room because I'm fucking balling out of control. I'm not in my apartment. It's not that cool. So I had to be on the couch because it had that, couches have a back to it. I could really just cocoon myself in there. And that's what I had to do. And that was a week of it. It was like 4 days of that. So that's why the podcast is super late. Okay? Is that cool? You guys forgive me? Can we move forward now? Because now I want to talk about this episode, which is about the movie Cape Fear. If you don't know what that is, that's good, dude. That's good that you don't know what it is, because I didn't know what it was either, and it kind of fucked me up in a good way. It was dark, like real dark. Like, I don't want to say too dark, because I've seen a lot of messed up shit, and I do know that The Human Centipede is still a movie. So by that comparison, really not that messed up, but considering I didn't know what I was getting into when I got into it, pretty messed up. So, okay, let's go right into, here is kind of the bio. I have a movie podcast. I should know what I'm reading. Anyway, when attorney Sam Bowden, played by Nick Nolte. By the way, dude, Nick Nolte, never been good looking. Never one time has Nick Nolte been like, oh man, shit, look at me right now. I'm really killing it. Dude, I hate when people are like, this guy was so hot back in the day. Like, it was like there was what is going on? Like, we used to be, like, the Bundy tapes, right? Ted Bundy was attractive? Really? Was he? What was he? I'm so much more attractive than Ted Bundy. I should be able to have killed thrice as many people. So, like, 90 people. Also, I'm way more charming than him. Have you listened to this podcast? I'm talking to myself. I mean, I bet he did. I'm not trying to say I'm fucked up like Ted Bundy, but I am going to say I'm better looking and way more charismatic than that guy. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about with Nick Nolte. Because they're telling me Nick Nolte's attractive in this movie. No part of him is attractive. He's got a side chick and a hot wife. No way. Nick Nolte, okay, he's a lawyer. And lawyers do lawyers pull ass? I don't know if lawyers pull. I don't know if, well, maybe. If you're making some, he has some cash. And, well, he's a rich guy thing. Rich guys always do well. I'm losing it. Here we go. When attorney Sam Bowden, played by Nick Nolte, knowingly withholds evidence that would acquit violent sex offender Max Cady, played by Robert De Niro, the fucking goat, of rape charges, the goat of rape charges, that I couldn't have played that any worse. Max spends 14 years in prison, but after Max's release, dude, I cannot read. You know, I feel like if I would just read the whole thing in my head first, I wouldn't be surprised when the thing changes, you know? Like when you know when you're reading something and you think it's gonna happen, like what you think it's this word because you're just anticipating and you're trying to read fast and precise because apparently that's what we used to do when you're younger. If you could read like a long page, people are like, oh my god, I mean, he's super smart. He can read that without stumbling or pausing. Because remember, if you were someone who couldn't read well, it was like you're not getting any pussy. Like middle school, no one is going to dance a foot away from you with your hands on each other's shoulders at that eighth grade dance if you can't read a page of Harry Potter. Now, it's like, you got to be, you know, now kids can't even speak to each other. You've heard a conversation that a kid has with another kid. How does it always go? Did you see my post was that's what it is. It's terrible. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, I'm gonna read this whole thing in my head real fast. I'm gonna show you how fast I read things in my head, and then I'm going to read the actual thing. By the way, if you guys can't tell, I'm a little bit out of it. It's been a minute since I've podcasted, so I'm trying to regain this. I'm sure someone loving this. I bet my boy Brandon DeMeyer out there is like, dude, I'm loving this episode right now. Even though you're not doing Batman, I'm a big fan of where you're going, and you're kind of all over the place, but that works for me. And that's why you get a shout-out, Brandon, because you're a good guy. Also, pay me my fucking fantasy money, you bitch. Ugh. When attorney Sam Bowden knowingly withholds evidence that would acquit violent sex offender Max Cady of rape charges, Max spends 14 years in prison. But after Max's release, knowing about Sam's deceit, he devotes his life to stalking and destroying the Bowden family. When practical attempts to stop Max fail, Sam realizes that he must act outside the law to protect his wife and daughter. In Martin Scorsese's remake of the classic 1962 thriller. So this is a remake. Okay. Well, that's dark. Dude, basically what happens in this movie, I'm going to give you guys the cliff notes, the abridgment, the spark notes. Right. Remember spark notes, dude? Dude, spark notes got me through AP English. I took it as a junior because I wanted to be cool. I mean, I was a good, I'm a good reader. And I'm very good with my words, as you can tell by my clear and concise sentences and the structure at which I talk, which is never, going off on tangents or other things. I'm very, you know, I'm very focused on the topic at hand, if you guys couldn't tell. Dude, okay, anyway, here's basically what happened in this movie. Nick Nolte thinks that Robert De Niro is a piece of shit, even though he's his defense lawyer, which means by law, he's got to defend this guy, right? Nick Nolte does a shitty job. Robert De Niro goes to prison and gets raped a bunch. He says it. It's super dark. He comes back. He's like, you know what? I'm going to mess up your family, man. I'm gonna mess up your whole... I'm gonna screw your whole life up. I'm going to take everyone you love. I'm going to fuck them up. I mean, I don't want to say that... This is how you know someone's a great actor. De Niro is playing like a convicted sex offender. Like this dude, I'm pretty sure a rape allegation, a rape charge, something like that, put him in prison for 14 years. Bad guy. Dude is a bad guy. But he's so charismatic that I'm kind of rooting for him. Which just shows how good of an actor De Niro is. Because I'm like, oh, dude, I fucking hate you, the person you're playing, but you're so good at it. I kind of hope you kick the shit out of Nick Nolte in front of his wife and kid. So pretty much, oh, by the way, dude, De Niro is shredded in this movie. Like, I don't want to get too hung up on this dude's body, but it's like looking at me in like 15 years, you know? So when I'm like in my 40s and I'm still yoked, like, oh my God, dude, it doesn't make any sense. He looks like his body looks like cracks on a sidewalk. Cause there's just so many, and the dimensions, and they're so cut out of the sidewalk. It's like nature versus this chiseled sidewalk. And there you, all right. I got a little carried away with that one. Doesn't matter. De Niro's shredded, and it's really impressive. All these crazy tattoos. So what he tries to do is he's trying to fuck up Nick Nolte's life, right? So he tracks down his, Nick Nolte's mistress, and then he, well, I don't know how do I put this in like a way that is true to the movie. He handcuffs her and then bites off her cheek. And then viciously rapes her. So, I mean, yeah, dude, that happened pretty early on in the movie. And I wasn't expecting any of that. Wasn't expecting most of what was going on in this movie. At one point, and then he goes up and dude, it's so dark. It's so dark. I'm going to get off it pretty quick because it's so dark. De Niro is like trying to mess with every part of Nolte's life. He like, and Nick Nolte has a daughter who's like 16, Juliette Lewis. She is the biggest nightmare in the whole world. I don't know what her face is, just I can't stand it. Her face is the kind of face where, like, you know those videos where there's always a girl in college dancing on a table and you're like, and the first thing you think is fall on her face. Yes. And you root for that because that's what she deserves for standing on that table. Juliette Lewis deserves that comment from me. Because of her face. Does that mean? Tell me if that's mean. If you think that's mean, just text me. If you listen to this podcast, you probably have my number. And if you think what I just said was mean about that person you don't fucking know, let me know. So then the next time I do this podcast, I can say, hey, person who told me I was being mean, you're a bitch. Anyway, guys, dude, I'm so all over the place because I'm so excited to be back on the podcast, and I know it's kind of madness, but I will just fast forward to the end, the best part of this movie. Here, basically, the cool thing about it is De Niro is, like, really fucking with Nick Nolte because his whole life fucked up. Nick Nolte, and my favorite part of this movie is Nick Nolte has his buddy, right? He's like a cop buddy or something, whoever this guy is. I think he's a cop. And from the word go, he's like, you got to kill him. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he's coming for your family. You got to kill him. It's like, dude, he hasn't even done anything yet. No, you got to kill him. No, you have to murder him. And then it's just like this slow. And every time something happens, no matter what the degree is, this guy is in Nick Nolte's ear like, dude, fucking murder him. Fucking find a way to fucking murder him. Get him in your house and then fucking kill him. We'll set the whole thing up. I'm going to tie a noose around a teddy bear so I'll know when he comes inside. And then we're going to fucking kill him. It's like this dude is the worst dude. I think he's killed at least 7 people. The guy that was like, yeah, you gotta kill that guy. If anybody is, that's the thing. If there's a person in your life who's like pushing you to do that something specific that's kind of bad, they either really want to do it or they've already done it and loved it. That was that guy. He's like, dude, you gotta murder this guy in cold blood. What? Yeah, murder him cold blood. Dude, I think you want to murder somebody in cold blood. No, I already have. I loved it. So I think you would like it too. It's like, chicken Alfredo here is really good, man. Chicken Alfredo here is really good. You should try it because I tried it and I thought it was amazing. No, I know you don't like chicken or Alfredo, but I love it. So will you please try it and do it and then eat it? And then we can share about how, we can talk about how good it was when we both did it together. Because I don't want to feel like I'm weird because I like chicken Alfredo. So I think that if you have chicken Alfredo and love it the way I love it, then maybe I'm not fucked up for loving it. Dude, was that too many layers in that metaphor? You can tell me. You can tell me if there's too many layers, but I thought it was pretty good. Long story short, De Niro is fucking up Nolte's life. And this is the part of the movies in the 90s. This is like where you lose me. You lose me in movies like this. Because Nick Nolte plans to set this trap to kill De Niro when he comes into his house, right? He like fakes like he's leaving, like his family's home alone. He's using his family as bait, which was wild. De Niro comes in, kills Nolte's cop buddy who wanted to murder Karma. And then De Niro kills Nick Nolte's maid. And then Nick Nolte and his family just flee to a houseboat. What? You can't just leave dead bodies in your home, dude. Why is nobody call the police? No one ever calls the police. Call the police, please. Call the police. Hey, this guy broke into my house. Yeah, did he kill anybody? Yes, he killed two people. Oh, we'll be right there. No, we're on our way right now. We are. Woo, woo. The cherries are going. We're going. We're coming. I'm gonna get on my houseboat. No, I'm gonna get on my houseboat. Go onto the river in a storm. And then I'm realizing now that if you haven't seen Cape Fear, this just sounds like, what is going on? De Niro got raped in prison. Then he raped somebody and bit her cheek off. And there's a lot of rape going on. It's really fucked up. And then De Niro, it gets on the houseboat, kicks the shit out of Nick Nolte. And then he's about to fuck up his family. And then Juliette Lewis tries to fully redeem herself for her face and lights De Niro on fire. And then De Niro falls in the water and then he comes back. Dude, I gotta stop. Why do I do this? Why do I start just trying to remember the movie and regurgitate it back? I should just talk about the movie. Guys, I'm rusty. I'm rusty, okay? I need you guys to be on my side here. I'm a little bit rusty, but that's okay. Let me reel it in. Long story short, De Niro dies a horrible death. Spoilers, this came out in 1991. This came out 27 years ago. Eat my ass. Now let's talk a little bit about the movie, okay? Because, that was about the movie, but let's talk about like, the production of the movie. Because this stuff I geek out to a lot. I think this stuff is super interesting. So, from what I've read on the internet, which you know is always true, Scorsese didn't want to make this film. He was like, this thing is dark. He read the script like four times. Like, this is too much. This is too much. And then De Niro was brought on, and he's like, okay, yo, De Niro, hey, come on. You gotta go. You can do so not. Yeah, circle of trust, fucker, whatever. I don't know what does De Niro sound like? Can you, is it, it's not even cool to do, you know, it's not even cool to do an impression of a guy anymore. I feel like it's better if you do a character he did. I think it's more memorable. Like, hey, do a Jake Gyllenhaal impression. From what movie? No, just a Jake Gyllenhaal impression. Hi, my name's Jake. That's it. He doesn't, he's not anything, he's just a regular talking, sounding dude. You're better off doing the impression of him in a movie, of a character he was doing an impression of. An impression of an impression. Dude, you guys, these tangents are out of control. I'm sorry. Basically, Scorsese didn't want to make it, then he made it. And this shit is dark. And this is actually the only movie ever where an actor was nominated for, was that what it says? So De Niro was nominated for Best Actor, but the film was not nominated for anything itself. Yeah, because it was a shitty movie. You guys find out right now. Hey, Blair said it was a shitty movie about 20 minutes into this. He should have just opened with that, and then I could have just saved myself some fucking time. But yeah, no, De Niro, he played a creepy-ass guy from the South with a bunch of tattoos who got raped a bunch and then wanted to rape people. I don't think he won. Dude, I should be so much more prepared for this, but I'm just not. Did De Niro win an Academy Award for this? Okay, hold on. I gotta find this out. If he won, this changes absolutely nothing. De Niro, Oscars. Oh, man, no, that's bullshit. He's been nominated 7 times? Jesus. Hey, De Niro, be good at something else. Could you imagine if someone said that to Robert De Niro? Hey, Robert De Niro, can you do anything else? Excuse me? What? I've been nominated for 7 Oscars. I've won 2 of them. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, shitty percentage. Get out of here. This isn't baseball. I love the idea of being mean to an artist about their art. Hey, what do you do? What do you do? I'm an actor. Okay, so you pretend. You're a pretender. You pretend on camera to be somebody that you're not. You put makeup on. And then people say action and you just go. And then at the end of it, it comes out and you say, I did that. That's what you do. I'm a plumber. So who really saves lives here, guy? All right, dude. I'm all over the place. I'm crazy. I'm in a crazy place. But I still think that was a pretty good episode. Don't you guys think that was pretty good? It was probably the craziest one I've ever done, which works out. And I'm sure you guys didn't learn anything about Cape Fear. I'm going to call it Cape Fear because I'm going to call it Cape Fear kind of. Because that's how insane I was today. And I'm not gonna apologize because I think if you listen to this podcast, you like when I get a little bit crazy. And you know, if you like when I get a little bit crazy, please, you know, let me, I'm not even kidding, let me know. If you guys like this episode of me getting a little bit insane with this, a little bit wild, let me know because maybe I'll do more of that. I like doing the solo ones because it's kind of I don't have to, you know, hold somebody's hand as they talk about a movie they kind of like. I think the next 2 episodes that are coming up, we're going to do Predator and Anchorman. I think those are the 2 coming up there. And then I'm working on the Batman one. My buddy Ruben is a Batman. He's a Batman fanatic. Like I'm not even kidding you. He's a Batman. Like he has a Batman tattoo. He has Batman tattoos, dude. I shouldn't have to keep up the list after that. Is your buddy into Batman? Yeah, he's got tattoos of him. Oh, so he's really into it. Yeah. Now, if I said, like, if I went, yeah, dude, he's got Batman tattoos and, like, a Batman lunch pail from the 60s. He's like, hold on, go back to that first one. What'd you say? Yeah, he's Batman tattoos. Oh, okay. Well, I know he's insane and he's into that. That's what I know that now. You didn't have to say the lunchbox thing at all. All right, dude. That was great. I'm happy with that. Guys, that was 23-some minutes, plus the intro was a little bit longer. So why am I counting the time code? Because I have it in front of me. That's why. The time code was in front of me, and now I'm counting it. I'm better than this. But you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead, boys and girls. I am out of here. Blair, this is Blair. My name is Blair. See, look, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore, guys. I'm so out of my mind today because of this cold. I just said my own name 4 times. with no context. Just talking. I'm just saying my own name now. I'm like a Pokemon character. Doesn't make any sense. I'm out of here. I'm going. Bye. Get out of here! Go! Get away from me, Blair! Get out of here! Oh, leave!